Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Word down your way. You're such a lovely audience.
And it's comforting to know in these uncertain times that some things never change. And the man who made an inspired contribution to rock and roll theatre in 1967 is still on stage and doing it 57 years later. Paging health and safety. I always want to say this. The god of hellfire, Arthur Brown. Arthur, it's lovely to see you. Can you remember the first rock and roll show you ever saw?
The first live thing would have been actually, I think, someone like Acker Bilk.
Oh, right. Brilliant.
Oh, Lord, yes.
With his Paramount Jazz Band.
Yes. Doing all
that. Was that Stranger on the Shore? I'm trying to remember now.
Well, that was his hit later.
That was his hit, yes.
So you grew up in Whitby, didn't you? Is that right?
Ireland.
All right.
And you went to school in Leeds.
Yeah, no, the thing was that in the war, such as there was then, we were in Whitby to begin with. The bombs came and blew up the hotel that my grandma had on the bay, overlooking the bay. And somehow, for some reason, my father joined the Metropolitan Police. So the next thing we found were we were in Whips Cross Road in the East End, just in time to counter, you know, deal with the Blitz.
I was going to say, running away from Whitby into the East End during the war.
Can you actually remember this? Because you would have, when were you born? 42, wasn't it?
I do remember things, you know, from having to keep blinds at the window, because if light got out the window, that it was something for the bombers to aim at.
Yeah.
So I could remember things like that, and you know, a lot of time watching the clock tick.
Yes. Dave, this is the first time we've had a conversation with anybody about memories of the Second World War. I think on Word in Your Ear, this is terrific.
Yeah, well, the thing was that in those days the streets were on fire, so that was part of my, you know, contact with the element of fire, but of course also in those days you spent a lot of time in front of the coal fire, and there wasn't TV, for instance, and so you'd watch the fire.
Do you know that's so true? I interviewed Ringo Starr once, and he said that what he used to do is listen to pop records on the radio and just look at the flames and the fire. And he said it was like, yes, a kind of, it's the equivalent to the things you can now get generated on your
screen.
Your screen, you know, there's just these amazing flames. He said that was enough entertainment for him. Amazing.
Yeah, and it made amazing noises as the flames changed colour, because the gas that was coming off the coal was, you know, different kinds of gas, different speeds coming off. And it was a kind of meditation.
How did the band come about? Because you were in various bands before, weren't you? Blues and Brown, was that right? You did various things before you formed the Crazy World of.
Well, I went to King's College London to become a lawyer, and they discovered that I hadn't got any interest in law at all. And so I was asked to leave. And so I went off to Reading, and there, there was the jazz club. And one day I was in the social, gathering pond, and I heard someone say, "Oh, such a pity about the trad band, the pity about the bass player getting sent down." And I thought, bass player, I bet I could do that. And so I went out and bought a double bass, and arrived at the they were doing a kind of audition thing, and they said, "Well then, we've got a gig in 4 weeks that this season starts." And I said, "Oh, well, shall I play at that?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Can you tell me where to put my fingers?" Because put on the notes. And so I ended up, I had to have fingers strapped. And that was my first performance. And it went down quite well.
But how did you move from this to the kind of psychedelic rock that you were doing in 1967? So how did that come about?
Well, in Reading University, I did a rag record. I was asked to do a rag record, so I did a rag record. And it was produced by Paul Samuel Smith of the Yardbirds.
Oh, right.
Yardbirds, yep.
Who I'd never heard of. And so that he said to me, "Very nice voice, Arthur. Very good singing, but why are you doing such dreadful tunes?" So I started to look around. The blues came in. I went to Paris, left the university, went to Paris, and was doing R&B and rock. But it was a club that was the beginning of the kind of underground scene in Paris, 65. And I remember watching on their TV in the club, the Who London's 65. So that was one of the things that I watched. And then there were people like Salvador Dali came down the club.
Did you meet Salvador Dali?
No, didn't meet him. But we met, Rahsaan Roland Kirk.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the jazz people who had, of course, been exploring their form of psychedelia for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so this other club had all these artworks, stalagmites and stalactites in painted colors, and all kinds of the beginning of flower power and the bringing. And I wanted to form a club at that point with Dali-esque type paintings and statues, and so the whole idea came together. But when I came back from Paris, I didn't have the money backing to do that. So I decided, what I'll do is I'll form a band and put as much of that as I can in the band. And so it became a psychedelic band. We did a gig in the Speakeasy, and Joe Boyd was there. And so we were invited to do a gig at the UFO.
Right.
And yep. That was, I was writing, at that time I was writing, I had just written Devil's Grip. And I made the acquaintance of this wonderful artist who became our lights man. And we used to chat about the history of everything and art and culture in the Paleolithic ages and the later times, so that the idea of horns and then magical druid-like cloaks and, you know, all that imagery came into the act. And one of the things which I'd started in Paris because of someone left a crown outside my bedroom after a wild party down the corridor. And in the morning, I found it outside the door with candles on. So I thought, okay, I'll light the candles when I'm on stage. That's great. And so when I got back to England, the crown collapsed, fell apart, and used a pie dish with petrol in it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the point of this interview where somebody has to say, this was before health and safety.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody's got to say it. So I'm going to say it. Carry on.
Yes. And, the artist guy enjoyed standing at the side and throwing flaming things into till one of them got into the plate of petrol. But the point with that one was that the strap that held it...
Head strap, was, yes.
Yeah, the head strap. That's why my brains didn't fall out to begin with. And it had one screw, but unfortunately the screw went straight down onto my skull. And so after a week of pain from the heat transmitted down the screw from the flaming petrol.
So look, I've got to be technical here. Now you're talking about, so you've got the crown screwed onto your head with the chin strap. Where is the petrol?
No. Now this the crown has collapsed and gone.
Yeah, right. The pie dish.
There's a pie dish.
This is the pie dish.
A blue pie dish with a red rim around it.
Yeah.
You know, is it about that deep? And just filled it with petrol.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's one does.
What's the worst that could happen?
And then we had various sort of times when I did like to move as well. So
yeah, it was a bit difficult.
So the clothes caught fire, stages caught fire. I mean, you know.
But you've been doing this now for how many years?
You know, 57. We made
57 years.
Yes.
So when you go on stage, one of the things you have to think about is at some point, presumably in the evening, there's going to be a fire near my head in some way. Is that right?
Yes.
Presumably, you've gone through all kinds of technical changes over the years, I'm guessing.
Yes, we did. And we realised that if we put the wings on the side of the skull, it would prevent the pie dish from wobbling. Right. So we did that, and that was, you know, again, from arcane imagery and stuff, until the helmet became, you know, then we put in, we wanted the flames to last longer and go a bit higher. We put in the horns, and in those days we covered the horns with something that was rather like army gaiters, you know, when you wear them on your legs, is that material.
It's one for the
and,
kids.
And, so, and then put on top of that cow gum, which was a glue that and did
this
that.
This is burn. So Heath Robinson.
This is just the most analogue thing I've ever heard in my life. Cow have gum,
you,
gaiters,
have you got to ask you a pie question? Dish. Have you ever had a conversation with a fire officer over there? You must have done.
So yeah, you still do this now, don't you? So there is a flaming helmet, right?
Oh, yeah. Now we've got the flames, so they go up 3 to 3.5 feet.
But surely, what's the conversation you have with health and safety? Because that's not something they encourage, is it?
not really, no. But there.
I mean, I'm surprised they still let you do it.
Well, it depends on the height of the ceiling.
Yeah, of course.
In the old days, it didn't depend, and I was taken 10 years ago to a room at a concert, and they said, "You see there?" And we painted the rest of the scene, but we left the bit where you burnt it. And so that one had lasted 20, 30 years. And so we did. We had sort of accidents and stuff. And so you'd have to...
So what is the worst that's happened? Well, I mean, did you ever set any of the rest of the stage set on fire or anything?
Yes.
And go on.
I had a burning suit, and that the fire officer came leaping on with the blanket and tried to wrap it around me, but I was dancing and wouldn't stop. So
sued by fire officer. Somebody tried to get him out.
Yeah, well, I did bounce. And so we've got a stuff now that burns, and you don't really want to have it on your hands or anything. Okay. But it's not the same danger for, you know, clubs and stuff.
Right.
And you still have to persuade, festivals and stuff. And of course, they do have to have a certain kind of insurance. And it can be quite expensive to insure a fire helmet.
So there must be places that won't let you play, surely.
It depends on, you know, like if it's open air and the flames are going up into the air.
No, I'm talking about clubs, you know. There must be clubs that won't let you play.
Clubs depend.
So when you arrive at a gig, there must have to be a conversation in the middle of the afternoon, right, you know, about 4 o'clock or whatever. And there's the owner of the place or whatever, and there's your tour manager or whoever. And there must be a slightly tense conversation most afternoons.
Well, it depends on the PR people. We had one gig where the actual head of the whole team that did the festival didn't want to do it. And there was this, the other guy who was the stage manager was really keen to do it. And so he finally went in to and said, look, imagine this. You're two fire officers holding canisters of fire extinguisher, and they're holding them up alongside the man who's got his flames pouring out his head. He said, what a fantastic picture it's going to make. And you'll get it all in the papers. And there, you know, and we didn't have any trouble. We didn't burn anything. So
it's the peak of a fire officer's career, isn't it? I did Arthur Brown.
Yeah, have you done Arthur Brown? Oh, yeah.
I should take oh, right. That's fantastic.
Instant promotion. You've done Arthur Brown.
So we've got it. Yeah, no, we've got it now. So that it is, after all, you know, fire is my calling card.
Absolutely.
And so we do. We've made sure that it's you know, a safe thing, but it still has that excitement to it, and that central image has always been a really powerful. It's sort of visceral. It's not.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
It's pre-technology, isn't it, really?
It is. You know?
That's actual fire. It's not just a picture of fire. That's real fire. Small children understand it. Animals understand it. You know that.
Yeah.
So have you ever not been able to do it? You know, because you've had to do a show without doing it for any reason. No?
Once... we did it at a festival, and my clothes caught fire. So Zoot Money claims it was he who extinguished it with 2 pints of Newcastle Brown.
This is so old school. This is
Newcastle Brown. It's
Newcastle Brown
analog, isn't it?
This is like something out of the Beano.
Yeah. You're on tour in Europe, I think, aren't you? Is it a European tour?
Yeah.
Quite soon?
What we decided was we'd do mainly England this time.
Yeah.
But we've got things get added. So we've got a Scandinavian one.
Yeah.
Italian.
And you're big in Germany, aren't you?
Yeah.
We had a list we were talking about on the podcast the other day of the oldest people still touring. Willie Nelson, 90, Bob Dylan, 82. And I think the youngest on that list at 76 was Steve Howe. Yes, you should have been on there. Fantastic. Imagine 82 and still doing it. Thanks so much. Lovely to talk to you, Arthur.
Oh, lovely.
Good luck with the tour.
Thank you.
Right.
Keep the flame alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Word down your way. You're such a lovely audience.
This podcast was brought to you by The Word.